Praise his name. Are you happy to be out this evening? Let's stand together, if you will, as we open the service. Let's bow our heads. Lord and Savior, oh, great Almighty. Lord, it's just wonderful to have a little place you provided us that we can come and know we're going to come into thy presence. Lord, it's your grace. You promised, Lord, you'd be, never leave us nor forsake us. Lord, you promised where two or three are gathered, there you'll be. And Lord, you've blessed us with your word here. That, Father, we know when we come, we can feel your presence. Lord, we can receive of what we have need of. Bless us now, each and every one, Lord, that's gathered here. Lord, just look into our hearts this evening. Lord, you know what we have need of. We might have come with a specific thought on our hearts, or maybe a trouble or times, but you know it all. We love you so much. So just bless us now. May we receive of our portion tonight. Bless the few songs we've laid on our hearts to, Lord, to clean our hearts and minds and prepare us for your word. We ask all this in your precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you. Amen. Praise his name. You may be seated. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Amen. Turn with me in our Only Believe books. Start there on page 26. When I reach that city. It's getting closer, saints. Amen. Like when you get close to the end of the race, you run harder, even though you may be tired. Amen. Get that burst of energy and run like you've never run before. On the top of Mount Zion is a city, and the earth with its glory it doth fill. I shall look on its beauty in the morning when I reach that city on the hill. Oh, that city on Mount Zion. Though a pilgrim, yet I love thee still. I'll not leave thee through the ages. When I reach that city on a hill, I'm invited to come home to that city. For the word says, whosoever and I'll find good attention or me waiting when I reach that city on the hill. Amen. Oh, that city on Mount Zion. Though a pilgrim, yet I love thee still. I'll not leave thee through the ages. When I reach that city on the hill, death will never molest me in that city, never leave me lying cold and chill. And I'll enter to live up there forever when I reach that city on the hill. Oh, that city on Mount Zion, though a pilgrim, yet I love thee still. I'll not leave thee through the ages when I reach that city on the hill. Amen. So I'll stay here until my Savior calls me, trying daily to perform his will. Then you'll say unto me, well done up yonder, when I reach.
Amen. Oh, what a day.
Praise him. Oh, that city on Mount Zion, though a pilgrim, yet I love.
city on. Amen. Sing it again. Oh, that city on Mount Zion. Though a pilgrim, yet I love thee still. I'll not leave thee through the ages. Oh, when I reach that city on the hill. Amen. Looking forward to that city, saints. Go home to be with him. Amen. Page 15, over just one page there. We're marching to Zion.
Hallelujah.
Come we that love the Lord, and let our joys be known. Join in a song with sweet accord. Join in a song with sweet accord. And thus surround the throne. Oh, and just surround the throne. Amen. Oh, we're marching. Amen. Oh, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, that beautiful city of God. Let those refuse to sing who never knew our God. But children of the heavenly King, but children of the heavenly King, may speak their joys abroad. May speak, amen, hallelujah, amen. Oh, we're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion.
Closer every day.
Yes, amen.
Amen. It'll put great anticipation in your heart. Oh, amen. Hallelujah. Brother Hamilton, you come up for the altar. That's the blessing.
Oh, yeah.
Course, what a day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus.
Jesus I shall see when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, and when he takes me by the hand and leads me through that promised land. Oh, what a day. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, and when he takes me by the hand and leads me through that promised land, what a day.
Got to look forward to. Amen. How many have something on your heart? Need a request? Amen. Just hold it on your heart. Brother Josh, you take the request tonight. You may be seated. Amen. Does somebody have a special song tonight? Amen. Praise his holy name. Got anything to get tonight, Karen? All right. Timothy, let us all stand under, if you will. Sing a little chorus, Only Believes. Ask our brother to come. Only believe.
Precious Lord, we just want to say thank you for this opportunity. Yes. Lord, to gather around your precious word and to renew our minds to these things that you have recorded for us. And Lord, just praying that through the way of renewing our minds tonight to your precious word, that Lord, it'll strengthen someone and encourage them. And Lord, help us to continue to fight a good, strong fight of faith, Lord. Yes. That we would be soldiers worthy, Lord, to walk for you. And Father, that we would be yielded to you, that you could have your way in our lives, we ask. And Father, we ask your blessings upon the word and unto our hearts for the hearing. And we'll make sure to make sure you receive all the glory for each and everything that's said and done. In the most precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Don't you love him?
Yes.
Amen. He is wonderful. But while you're still standing, if you would, let's turn our Bibles over to Romans, the 12th chapter. We're going to read a very familiar scripture. We read it often, but just think about it a lot. Amen. But in Romans, the 12th chapter, and we'll just read the second verse, and then you can be seated. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. May the Lord bless you in his word, and you may be seated. quite a scripture, and it's been on my heart a lot lately, and our pastor has hit on a lot of things recently over the last several services. But just wanted to draw your mind to some things Paul said, and then a couple quotes from the prophet. But I was just thinking about this, you know, and if you'll remember, I mentioned this to our pastor Thursday evening. It's been probably a month, and it's hard to believe how fast time goes by, but it's probably been over a month. But our pastor was bringing a message, and he brought it about, you know, being careful not to conform to another church or to another set of believers, or to bring things in a manner to guard against, and to watch the word. Don't pattern yourself after nothing else but the word. And how important it is, as we see, and I don't know if you've thought much about it, but since that's been happened and been said in the course of the last month, it seems like we've come into contact with quite a few people, a little more, and different ones stopping in and passing through, and not pointing anyone out in person, but just being aware that we're a small group, and God called us here for a purpose and set us aside, and each one of us has directed our paths to God's precious word and a desire to see him live and to see him have the full preeminence in our lives. And you know, that alone, as our pastor mentioned this morning, in Christ the mystery of God revealed, is something very few people truly wish or desire or see. The need and the importance of being sure you're born again and filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And number two, realizing that you're not your own. You've been bought with a price. And Christ is surrendering your body to Christ as a living sacrifice, which is holy and acceptable unto him, which is a reasonable service. And so oftentimes you see God is calling, and the Holy Spirit's been dealing with us here as a little group, not as a church, but as individuals before God. And we come here and gather under our pastor, and the Holy Spirit brings the word to our attention. And as the Holy Spirit speaks to each one of us, what a desire it ought to place in our heart, and I'm sure it is. It's obvious that we've been called out to be a separated people, and how that our lives should be so hid in this precious word. And you know, man, you know, Satan comes along, as Brother Branham mentioned it many times, and he called him a deformer. You know, God told us to be conformed to the image. He predestinated us to be conformed to the image of his Son. And here where Paul was speaking, he says, be not conformed to the world. And as Brother Branham many, many times went through that and explaining, you know, he's trying to deform us. He's trying to deform the word. He's trying to take a word here, a word there, take away the importance. And how's he going to do that? He's only got one tool. He's not going to work on us through the denominations. We would never listen. He's not going to work on us as you young people, with young people that's way out here in the world. You know where they're at. Me, as a brother, he's not going to work on me with some stranger, but it's going to be a brother. He's going to, something close to us, somebody that's dear to us. We've seen it. We've lived through it. By God's grace, many of us have already walked that path. And how that God lets those things happen for a reason, to build the character in us that's needed for the journey to finish. And to be a light, that's why we've been called out. That he, Jesus, could put his light in us, and that we would shine forth with his glory, not my merits, not what I know about this message, but what God will live through me and live through you to individuals. That's the only use God's got for us, is to be surrendered vessels to him, that he would have the preeminence. And by him having the preeminence of our lives, he would draw that last one end would be wherever, if there be his choosing to use you in that manner, that his life shining out through you would do the work that's needed. But Paul cautioned us many places in the scriptures, and I'd just like to renew your minds to some of these things that he said. And if you want to, we'll go to 1 Timothy, the second chapter first. Actually, let's go to Ephesians, the 4th chapter and the 17th verse. Let's read that first. Amen. But just think about these things as Paul was speaking and writing these for not the people only at that time, but for your and I benefit, that tonight we would sit here and let these things continue to uphold us and strengthen us. But here in the 4th chapter of Ephesians, in the 17th verse, Paul's speaking. He says, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, and being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart." Yes. And think about the message our pastor was bringing this morning, yes, of how we see it taking place. Having their understanding darkened and being enlightened through the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of blindness and of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. And if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversations the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, and speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, and neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. And think about that. Do we truly work with our hands all day, labor for what we have, just to be able to give to him that needeth? Something to think about. Many of us are willing to work when we're gaining something from it. But what about just gaining it to give it away? Amen. It's something to think about. How much does everything that I have mean to me and I hold dear? Paul knew what it was. He didn't put value on nothing in this life, and his life and his testimony showed forth. And I believe you can see that same life live out through the prophet of this last day. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, that which is good to use the edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Just, they don't need no explanation, but just in the simplicity of what Paul was saying, think about these things. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. And let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Be ye therefore of followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering, and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanliness or covetousness, let it not once be named among you, as becometh saints. Now that little sticks out, as becometh saints. Amen. Dwell on that for a little bit. And neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. And be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes in darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord, and walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit in all goodness and righteousness and truth, and proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame to even speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, and whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Amen. And that's why we're always, as we come in here, crying out, Lord, open my understanding. So many people are satisfied to call themselves a Christian and say, I believe I've been born again and I believe the prophet. But they fail to study not just what the prophet said, but what these scriptures say we must be. What our lives must be and how it must be hid in God. And there's so much that goes on around us, but we're not to be tossed to and fro so easily, as our pastor mentioned Thursday evening, I believe it was. But this word is a steadfast anchor in how it should be holding us and placing in our lives a steadfastness. That this on this side doesn't move me. I know where it's at because by God's grace, he's opened my understanding to the word. Not what my church says, not what somebody told me, but because of what God has revealed to me, I know I stand where I stand. And that's the decision that I made in my heart, was to serve the Lord and to follow him into all truths as the Holy Spirit would lead us. Yeah. And God gives the pastors, at the first part of that fourth chapter, we know, as Paul spoke, he gave forth those men with those gifts to lead to the edifying of the saints, till we all come to the fullness, to the stature of Christ. And how we see this precious word bringing us to that as a body, as individuals before God, part of that bride. But laying aside all the cares of this world and not getting entangled in this world and not being wound up with everything that's taking place down here. And you know, Brother Branham, before we go on, I want you to think about something he said. And we've all heard this many times. But as we look around us and we see what's going on, and this was in the message, The Greatest Battle Ever Fought, preached March 11, 62. Paragraph 52, he said, And do you know, we've had wars after wars, rumors of wars, and if the earth stands, we'll have plenty more wars. But do you realize there's really only two powers in the universe? And of all of our differences between nations and differences between each other and everything, it all mounts up to two powers. There's only two powers, there's only two kingdoms. Two powers, two kingdoms, all the rest, the little minor things, are connected with either one of those powers. And those powers is God's power and Satan's power. And every war, every disorder, everything that comes along, it's either controlled by God's power or Satan's power, because it's the only two powers there is. Yes. And that is the power of life and the power of death, and that's the only two powers. And Satan can only, his power he's got is a perverted power of God. It's no real power, it's a perversion of God's power. And everything that Satan has, death is only a perverted life. And a lie is only the truth mistold. And adultery is an act misused, a righteous act misused, see? Everything that Satan has got is something that was perverted, but it's a power. And we are today sitting here, and one or the other power is going to control us. So let's cast out the evil one, and let's take our position like the stars of heaven. Yes, and in another place, Brother Branham made the quote, he said, God takes his man, but never his spirit. And Satan takes his man, but never his spirit. And so when we see that what's being controlling us, and as we walk through life looking at every circumstance and everything that comes up to face us, whether it's on the job, whether it's here in the church, somebody coming again, you know, maybe coming in, we're meeting people, greeting people, wherever we may be all over this earth, wherever we may be on a trip, we may be anywhere. But every decision we make is going to result in either death or life. And that's the power that's controlling each one, as we see Satan's over here doing all he can to deform and to pervert and to take away from what God wants in our life. And one decision outside of God's word brings death. And how we should truly want to focus our attention to what God's looking for in our lives. And to be aware of what's taking place around us and all the stuff Satan's offering out here, all the things of the world. it looks so fun sometimes. People going here and people going there. We're doing this and we're doing that. Why don't you join us? Why don't you go here? But God's word may have already spoke to your heart, and that's something that you can't do. And how it's got to become that reality. And as we face life, you know, I sit here as a member of this congregation. I can't sit here and say, well, I don't do that because my pastor says I probably shouldn't. So I can't do that thing. That's the first step. The other step might be, I might be a young adult coming up, and I say, I can't do that because my mom and daddy wouldn't let me. They wouldn't want me to. But we've got to come past that stage as we grow in Christ in both categories. We're coming to a place to where it's, I don't do that because Christ doesn't want me to do that. I'm not doing that because there's a longing, there's a desire in my heart. I'm not controlled by a rule. I'm not controlled by someone's thumb on me, but I'm being controlled by the Holy Spirit and what He's revealed to me. And that's the desire. And if I don't have that desire controlling me, now is the time to cry out and to ask the Lord to place that into my heart in such a reality that I don't look at life as I must do this because, but I'm doing this because I love the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And to see the reality, that's what Paul found. Paul found a love, and he was so sincere when he realized what God had done for him and the grace that had been shared into his life. And then he began to express these things, that what that love meant to him and how he wanted his life to reflect what God had predestinated him to be. And how it should be for us, how we should want our lives to shine forth. You know, it's not a law. You sisters don't cut your hair and these different things. Men, we dress nice and we don't get involved in all the worldly conversations and all that's taking place. Not because I'm afraid somebody's going to find out I said something and boy, I'm sure going to get raked over the coals or the word might really cut me down or somebody's... No. But because of the love that He has shed for you and I and realizing what we've been called to by the desire that's burning in our heart, it's bringing us under control to that precious word. A surrender, a preeminence to who? Our pastor? To our church? No. To Jesus Christ, the word. That's where it has to lie. Not in what my church does, not what my pastor does, but what did the word say? And is my life conformed to that image? And by God's grace, I believe our pastor has done a wonderful job to point us back into the word and not to point us to his own decision or his own opinion. But here's what the word said. And by God's grace, that's what we want to look into, is God's word for every situation. And you know, we've seen it so long, so many times, to where people always want to run for somebody else's opinion before they do something. When God's opinion's laying here for you and me as individuals, this is where our prayer life should start. This is where we should pray before our decisions are made. And what we're looking for, it's laying here for us. If we would but yield to it and give God the opportunity, He'll show us. We may not like the answer. It may not be the answer you wanted to hear, but the answer is laying there. But you've got to be willing in humility to say, yes, Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And you watch God bring forth the gifts and the promise and the reward for obeying his truth. Amen. Let's go here to, over here back, let's turn back to 1 Timothy in the second chapter. Amen. Pray it's all right. May seem a little different, but just reminding a few things. I'm not here to be a correction or anything, just to renew our minds to what God has said and to hopefully strengthen you and to give you strength for every day, because Satan is going about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, trying to draw our attention and trying to lead us and to guide us in all kinds of misconstrued conceptions. Amen. Here in 1 Timothy, the second chapter, and Paul, but we'll get here at the first verse. Amen. Get another drink here. But chapter 2, 1 Timothy, in the first verse. I exhort you, therefore, that first of all, supplications and prayers and intercessions and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And my, when I think of that, how we've been part of not living too peacefully in the past in some of the circumstances we were involved in, unfortunately. Yeah. As to being part of Christ, boy, some of the past life that we've seen wasn't too peaceable with all men. We didn't pray for all men like we should have back in the time. It was, you know, it was being a respecter of persons, so to speak, but God's word didn't give way for that. He's pointing us to pray for all men. and for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life with all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, and the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all that testified in due time. Wherefore I am ordained a preacher and an apostle, and I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. And I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands and without wrath and doubting. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness. And you know, oftentimes we forget that little phrase that's in there. As women professing godliness, as sisters, as brothers, there's many quotes in scriptures. And this, just using this as an example in the short time that I had to kind of point these things out. But just think about these quotes in scriptures that are laying here to each of us, whether we're men or whether we're women, to lay out our life and our life pattern before God and before these people all around us, that they see Jesus Christ living through us, the expression of his life and what he would expect. And it's good. He says, but I suffer not a woman to teach, nor suffer authority or the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in the faith, charity, and holiness with sobriety. And he goes on into the bishop and the deacon and all that. But I just want you to think about our lives, how, what an impact it has, not just to try to conform to some church or some rule or what we consider maybe some rule, but conforming to the word, that everything about me is showing forth a Christ-like attitude, a Christ-like, that this word, as they look at this word, is not, well, they must go to that church. No, but go back to the word and see what it says. Yeah. And our life is bearing fruit, showing forth that we believe what we claim to believe. Yes, the prophet brought many of these things and broke it down. And today, if you mention what the prophet said about it, well, he was just this and he was just that. And it don't have to go that far and it don't have to be this far. But Paul set the foundation, as Brother Smith, when he was here, was showing. Yes. This was the foundation that was laid. And this is where we must find. And everything the prophet brought will line right back up into that word. There's no deviation in it. It's thus saith the Lord all the way through. God making sure and setting forth the word for you and I in this last age. Oh, Satan's got so corrupt, the world's got so corrupt, and it looks like it's changing. But God doesn't change, and he lies not. And by God's grace, this precious word is conforming someone to his image. And one of these days, this old flesh, it ain't going to have a wonderful change. And all of a sudden, I went from being a nasty, mean person and all this other stuff to being just so-so. But I'm changing now, that the fruits that are on the inside, the real me, is bearing forth on this outside. And one of these days, I'm just going to lay this old coat down and pick up a new one. But it's still, the real me is not going to have any more change. And that's what our pastor's been going into this message, Perfect Faith, how that ought to resonate in our hearts, to be able to stand there with the same testimony Enoch had, that I please God. Oh, my, can you only imagine how that feels to know that you can stand there with that testimony? Maybe sickness comes your way. Maybe there's a test or a trial. Something's facing you. But to be able to stand there with that assurance in your heart, knowing, Lord, I know I please you. Oh, what a challenge it ought to put in our hearts to see this precious word made more real in our hearts and in our lives. But, you know, it's so easy. And I look and see different situations and even, you know, we look at different situations where we come from, and I think of many different people as they begin to leave maybe a creed or a doctrine that's had them really, really bound down. And just coming out from underneath some of that, there's such a freedom to them. And they feel this great freedom and this relaxation. But we must make sure that we don't ever get out from underneath the order of the precious word and what God's wanting for our life. And thinking, well, that was just here, that was just there. But no, we've got to make sure that it lines up 100% with what God wanted in our life. And make sure that it's pleasing to him. Amen. Yes. Let's see here. Amen. As I said, we must always look. You know, it's so many times it gets to where the Brother Branham say a quote about that, what was said and this and that, and we've seen it over the years, many different things that's been back and forth and still fought over and this and that, but there's a truth laying in God's Word, and I always like just to use it as an example and to think about it. You know, oftentimes it was brought up about the sleeve on a woman's dress, how long it ought to be. And Brother Branham made the comment, he said that he didn't have a scripture for that, but he believed the Holy Ghost would tell you the length it would be, something along those lines. But how the Holy Spirit's a Holy Spirit. And when you go back and search all these things out and really begin to think about what God said and looking for a type, and you look at these things, now I'm not preaching on the length of sleeves, that's not where I'm headed. So don't feel like it. I just want you to think about something, because we see so many times, there's so much that goes on and different things. Well, there's no scripture for that. There's no quote for that. There's this, that, and the other. But realizing there's only two powers that work in the universe.
That's right.
And it's only working to the good or death or life, one way or the other, in every situation we face.
Yeah.
And to stop and to think and to go back and to use that. When I'm facing a situation, maybe there's not an exact quote from Brother Branham that guides my path. But to go back and to study the scriptures, to go back and see what the prophet said, and go back and look at the examples he was using to show us where he was standing. And you know, he in the message leadership, he used this as a type, talking about the mother's kindness, how we're led, and we come up through from the time we're a baby, we're led by something all the way through.
Yes.
And you know, as we can just read it a little bit here. He said, this is in paragraph 27 of Leadership, preached October 31st, 65. He said, at first it's a mother's kindness, then the father's word. And the mother gives you the first step, and then you look to your daddy, all of us, for wisdom, because he's the head of the house. And know that, not that he's any smarter, but he just must be a leader of his family. And so we follow what our daddy says to do. And when he says, now son, I would like for you to do a certain thing, then we listen to him because it's wisdom. But listen, see, he has learned a whole lot, and we've got to ask him and see what he learned. And then we can profit by his and what he learned. And he tells us, now don't go and do this because I did that. My father told me not to do that, but I did it, and it caused this to happen to me, something bad. And he tells us how to do and what to do right. And then after mother leads us till a time, we get a little wisdom to understand from daddy, then we get another. We get another leader, and that's a teacher, a good school teacher. And she tries to teach you and give you an education to fit you in a better life, for a place and a position that you can read your Bible, you can read the songs, and you can learn of God and read yourself, you see. And then another thing, maybe you'll have a business and somebody will write you a letter. Mommy and daddy, somebody writes you a letter and you couldn't read it, see. So the teacher, she has you then, and she leads you to learn to write and to read, and it's a good thing, a good teacher to teach you, right? But now after you leave that, and after you leave the teacher, one teacher after the other one, and from a little primer to a little first grade until you get out of high school or go to college. And then when you leave college and the teacher is through leading, you see. Now, mama has taught you to walk, and papa taught you how to be brilliant, a nice young man, and how to take care of yourself and behave yourself. A teacher has taught you an education and how to read and write. But now you're leaving papa, and now you're leaving mama, and you're leaving the teacher. And now somebody has to take you from here on. And now who do you want to take you from here on? And a little child says, Jesus. And Brother Branham says, that's right, Jesus, to take you from here, there on. And that's a very good answer, a very fine answer, for Jesus to take you from there. And who is Jesus? The Word. And as we study and look at these things, that we're now in a place of where we're being led. Each one of us that are of age and come to accountability and looking at God's Word and to seeing what He has for us. And to follow Him. And to follow every action and to, but there's still voices every day that maybe you hear the word come forth in this little congregation. But somebody comes along and trying to take that away from you, tell you that's not the way it's got to be, or maybe you just don't see the sincerity of it. But God's word doesn't lie. It's laying here. And we don't answer to our pastor. You don't answer to me. I don't answer to you. But we all are going to answer to Jesus Christ one day. And that's where we want to make sure that we're lining up 100%. In that precious word. We want to make sure that everything we do, we can truly not run it through our church, not run it through a board of people that agree that this is okay, but run it back through the word of Jesus Christ and to find it standing there. That's permissible. That's That looks like Christ. That's an action that God would permit. And how it ought to draw our attention so great back to His precious Word. But Brother Branham, you know, as we were talking about the sleeves and things, and me and my daughter was talking about makeup and some things at home, just different things that in ladies' clothes and things that they wear. And I came across this quote from Brother Branham as I was reading about these things. And I just thought it was good. And I thought I'd share it with you. And it just maybe it'll help the young people if they get in life and begin to see things and maybe cause them to press a little harder and look a little deeper for things. But I want to read this first. This was an arrow of God's deliverance shot from a bow. And this was preached clean back in 56. But I wanted to read something as we were talking about looking for types and things that had happened and where Brother Branham oftentimes looked back and saw the makeup and saw the different things women were doing. And he begins there. We'll start here at the top. This is the middle of paragraph 22. And he says, "Shreveport, you dear Southerners down here are the finest people I've ever met. And I don't say that to compromise with you. I say it because I love you. And if you want to get some real good treatment and real good old-fashioned hospitality, come to Louisiana. I mean it from my heart. And I tell you, don't let the world creep into you." And this is a warning, just as Paul was giving forth a warning. This is the prophet giving forth a warning led by the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that wrote the Bible, speaking to us through the prophet to encourage us to watch and to look over things. And I tell you, don't let the world creep into you. Don't let the world get into your churches, brother, and pray it out. Fast it out until God comes down and takes a hold. That's right. Keep the joy of the Lord among the saints. Keep them prayed up and guard every little place. If Noah seen a leak in his ark, why, he put some pitch in it. And so that's the best thing I know to keep a leak out, the world out, is to stop up the leak. And it's the best thing I know to do and the only way to do it, and that's prayer. And prayer stops the leak and prayer changes things. Now a long line of kings had come down, and he says, Ahab the wicked one had been shot by a bow and killed, and Jezebel was thrown out of the room as she tried to make love or dance, he says, and then he drove down and he had the eunuchs throw her out the window into the street. And did you know, well, let me tell you, Life Tabernacle, seeing some of you women begin to wear your makeup and stuff like the rest of the women of the world nearly killed me when I walked in here the other day and saw that. Look, there's only one woman in the Bible that ever painted her face, and you don't paint your face to meet God. You do that to meet men. And the woman did that. God fed her to the dog. So when you get to wearing that, just remember, God's turned you over to some dog meat when you see anybody doing that. Yes. And now keep away from it. Shun the very appearance of evil. You may think I'm giving you a scorching, but brother, I believe it needs it down here. There's something that is wrong. I don't want you to get angry with me. I'm your brother, and God's going to make me answer before you on the day of judgment. That's right. So I just want you to think about that. Brother Branham preached his heart out. And every time he come back, he said it would get worse at different places. And so you can't make people live right. You can't make people do anything. But they need an understanding of God's precious word. And that's why each one of us, it's highly important that we cry out and make sure that we understand these things. And what the devil's trying to do, he's trying to deform. And we see so many young sisters in this message just running as hard as they can to these things. And the prophet was warning us, Paul warned us, about all of these things that would come in and try to creep in. You know, work businesses and politics try to creep into the man's world and try to take us over and try to get us into their line of thinking. And the whole rat race that's going on around us, we see it every day. Satan's power at work in everything, corrupt, trying to draw us this way. Oh, you ought to get on this side of the fence. You need to get into this. You need to make sure you're supporting that. But we're not of this world. And by God's grace, I'm praying that God's word will continue to strengthen us and continue to make us press on to a higher place. Yes. But this was another quote Brother Branham had made in Blasphemous Names. And this was preached November 4th, 1962. And just to show how he felt about things and just to meditate upon it. It's not and to take it back to what Paul said as we see things. And it'll let you see, just because somebody's doing something and claiming to be in this message, there's only two powers driving it. And don't forget that. And God's a clean, holy spirit. Yes, yes. And as Brother Branham said, you can see what, by watch the thing and see what's behind it, and it'll sure prove out whether it's God or whether it's of Satan. But this was paragraph 86 in blasphemous names. And he says, "In all ways, I've always been accused of being hard on our sisters about wearing bobbed hair and manicure all over their face and stuff. And I've always been accused of being hard on our sisters. It isn't that I got anything against that. I don't want to say a woman isn't a good woman and she's some streetwalker or something. That isn't my attitude. But it's this. When she puts on so much artificial on the outside, it shows a lot of artificial on the inside." And I want you to think about that. Now, he's typing that to women's makeup and that. But just think about our own lives. We can be awful artificial on the outside. We can put on a good front. Many people do. I'm a Christian. I believe this message. But all that artificial on the outside doesn't cover up or show what's really down on the inside when our actions go to work. And it's expressing and it shows forth every day. And people are reading us. So make sure we're not being artificial, but let's be the real, genuine article. Yes. That God would see what's in our lives. People would be able to see us and not have anything to say but not to condemn your report. And as Paul said, don't walk as other Gentiles walk in the vainness of their mind. But oh, how we ought to truly let these things soak into our hearts and really think of what Paul and our prophet has written to us.
Yes.
He says, that isn't my attitude. It puts an awful lot of artificial on the inside. See, they ought to be filled with Christ because the outside always expresses what's on the inside. By their fruits you know them, you see? And where Christ ought to be in there to take care for God, to take care for other things instead of so much artificial pomp and, you know, green eyelids and unhuman looking and all that kind of stuff, I just don't go for it. I don't believe the Bible does either. So I'd like to be just what we are. And notice now, if she hasn't got any fingernails and wants to put some on, if she hasn't got any teeth and needs some, hasn't got an arm and you need one, haven't got hair and you need some, and if you haven't got these things, that's different. But when you pull out your real good teeth because they're just not as bright as they should be, then you done wrong. Think about that, just your old teeth. Think about what he's saying. God made you the way you are. Be the way you are. And be proud that God is, he saw you before there was ever a moon or a star. He knew what you would look like, Brother Branham said. So let us be confident in what God has made us.
Yes.
And stand in His glory and let His glory shine forth from us. Not what this world would think beauty looks like or what men ought to look like. I mean, you know, men can go the other way. Women try to put it all on. Men go become bodybuilders and get their muscles and get their shape and their figure. Should be healthy and take care of yourself. But what's our attitude with why we want to look the way we do? And our change in our life, that's all the artificial on the outside. But we're here for one thing, and that's for Christ to be glorified in our lives and to let Him shine forth. So this may sound like, but just look at what he's saying and just take it into everyday life. You don't have to just apply it to one thing. It matches up with the Word. So anyway, he goes on to say, he says, if you need some and you haven't got those things, that's different. But when you pull out real good teeth because they're just not as bright as they should be, then you done wrong. And if you've got red hair and you want black and you go down here and collar it black, just because you've done wrong. And I think so, but the main thing, there's no scripture for that. Only to bob your hair. There is the scripture for that. Yeah, have plenty of that. So then we want to make sure that that's right now. So don't think I'm saying, you know, anything. I'm not bringing any kind of doctrine. I'm just reading to you what he said. And I just want you to consider how this world has become so fake.
Yes.
It's become an error of social media. Everybody wants their face to be so good. Don't get rid of my wrinkles and get rid of my fat roll under my chin. And I don't want people to see me like that. And that's what we've become. It's become that way throughout the whole world. And it's got to the point to where when people go to church, oh, they get all dressed up and all pretty and they come to church and they look all so nice. But let them get away from the saints and away from the Word and underneath the anointing of that Holy Spirit and you can't even tell they're a Christian anymore. You can't tell they belong to God or they got a desire to serve the Lord. And that's what it is. We don't want to be a fake artificial people. But we want to take exactly what God's Word said and have it applied in our life. And to see our life go forth, showing forth the glory and the grace of Jesus Christ. And so don't take it as Brother Tim must be thinking. I'm not. I'm just wanted you, as I was reading these things, I was thinking about that and it just struck me. You know, so many people, well, why can't I have fingernails? Why can't I cut my hair? Why can't I have eye makeup? Why can't I do this? Why don't we? Because Jesus Christ made you the way he wanted you to be. He made me the way he wants me to be. And by God's grace, this word will bring us to conform us to his image in every action. That even though I was born in sin, shaped in iniquity, he's filled us with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That even the very nature and desire that we were born with has been killed and burned out. That every action, every fiber of this being would declare Jesus Christ to this nation and to this people. And by God's grace, I want to let him have that preeminence in my life. And I pray that through that it strikes into your heart. That we would be a people that's not putting on an air. Not being a people that, oh, we go to church so we want people to think about us in this light. But even if people didn't know we went to church, I want them to know that I know Jesus Christ. As I said, we got a little saying on the stand at home that says, live your life in such a manner that someone may come to know Jesus Christ because they know you. And that's not because you're something, but it's because of the grace and the mercy that he has shared into our lives and the changes he has made. And oh my, how we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. And how there's so much, and you know when you look at God's word, and you look at there's 66 books in this Bible, and all the words that's printed in here, and you look at all the messages we have, and how much word is in them, and all that God has left us, how much time do we truly have for anything else? But you know, we're given 3 nights. Normally here, we have 3 times we get to come to church and sit underneath the anointing of the Holy Spirit and hear God's precious word. And that's what we're to be conformed to. But look how much time Satan has of our time to deform and to try to take us from what God is pointing us to. How we should make sure this is truly our first love and that we're truly looking to God's precious word and just bring into remembrance the things that our pastor has been bringing to us through the leadership of the Holy Spirit and weigh these things. And how it ought to, you know, it's so easy to, you know, I was young once. Growing up, it's easy to get into a thing. Well, why am I doing this? Why do we do this? Why do I live like that? Why do we not do this? Why? And there's never no understanding to it. There's never, you know, as parents, it's our obligation to our young children, not just to tell them you can't do something, but take the word and explain to them why they can't do what they're doing. And to make sure that we're being the best we can, that we are the pastors of our home deciding to bring forth God's word and to show them why we have chosen to walk the paths that we walk. Yes. And oh my, not for glory for ourselves, as boy, I'm sure this, I've got the rule in my home, and boy, they sure took. No, but that Jesus Christ would be magnified. Yes. That through it all, the light of this gospel would shine to others. That they can see that Jesus Christ is in control of every situation. Yes. Amen. A very simple way, probably a cut-up way of bringing it. But I pray there's something said that'll strengthen your heart. Yes. And cause us to be a people. Don't rely on mommy and daddy. Don't rely on the pastor. Jesus Christ is here for each one of us as an individual to be the rock of our salvation. Yes. To be that steadfast anchor that'll hold each one of us. I don't have to worry. I don't have to try to run and get a hold of daddy's pants leg. I don't have to run and try to get a hold of the pastor's. I need you, pastor. No, Jesus Christ, I need you. And he's there on the scene all the time. He's never more than a whisper away. Amen. Oh, may we truly put our confidence in him. You sisters can come to the instruments if you would. Amen. As I said, don't think Brother Tim's up here saying, you need to do this. No, just take it as it was read. And just meditate on these things and pray, and it'll give some direction and maybe cause you to go back and look for things. You know, there's no reason in this day for any of us. We all got cell phones, and there ain't one thing we can't find out about on Google if we need to. You ask anybody a question they don't know, and the first thing they're going to do is go find out at Google and try to figure it out. But I'm here to tell you, by God's grace, there was a little app made that goes on our cell phone and on our computer for this precious message. And it's still pure. And it's a great search engine. You go to looking for an answer, you'll find more quotes than you can shake a stick at. But then you prayerfully consider what's there and ask God to open your understanding. Yes. To keep it in context. Or maybe then after that you've got him say, maybe you need to go to your pastor. That's what he's here for, to be a leadership. And say, pastor, I've seen this. What, help me put this together. And you watch the leadership of the Holy Spirit work in your behalf. Amen. God's provided a channel. If we'll but take it. But you know, there's so many people in this message, they don't need no pastor's help. They don't need no Holy Spirit's help. They done and read it. They know exactly what it said, and that's where it's going to stop. But, oh, but we got to get in the spirit of the composer and make sure that we're playing the same tune of music and watching it bring forth the results that this Bible said it would bring. And I pray, Lord, let it be me. Lord, let me find myself in that. That, Lord, my life would be a sweet savor before Him, and that everything I do and everything I say would be pleasing unto Him. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand, if you would. Amen. Hallelujah. Anybody got a song on your heart? My mouth's dry. I apologize. I probably can't even sing. Amen. But hallelujah. Let's just sing that little chorus, Hallelujah to the Lamb. Amen.
Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lamb that was slain upon the tree. By His stripes we are healed. By His Spirit we are sealed. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God.
Amen. Don't you love Him? Sing it again. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Amen.
To the Lamb of God. Isn't He so wonderful? I appreciated that. Did you? And I thought that was real good. And it's, you know, and again, may it be a warning to us to not let any other believer, any other church influence us. May the Word of God only be what influences us. You see, because so many times you can be influenced by the wrong thing. By someone that may say they love God, somebody that serves God, is to say, but never look at someone else. I know years ago, that was a really major problem. I remember pastoring years ago, and people would come to me oftentimes and say, well, Brother so-and-so done this. Sister so-and-so done this. Sister so-and-so's wearing this now. The pastor's daughter's wearing this. Pastor's wife done this. Don't never, ever let that influence you. Always stay with the Word of God. Amen. You know, it's good how he brought it up on that makeup, because there's so many women in this message wearing makeup now. And don't let it influence you. You know, as he read, talked about it, then what it did, where it started was Jezebel, and she was fed to the dogs. You see? So keep that in mind. You know, I'm so thankful for God's love, mercy, and His grace. That's how we're here, by that, you know. And so thankful, you know, is there's often times it may sound, and it does, it bothers me. It bothers me that maybe I have to say sometimes the things I have to say and come down on certain things, certain problems. And there's certain things I do as to not just let any minister come in here and preach. I don't do it. If I know the background and I know he'd stay with the Word, that's fantastic. That's great. But I just do not allow it. And I actually had another minister in the message call me this weekend. And he was really encouraging me. And he said, don't let it bother you. Because of protecting your sheep. That's what it is. It's protecting your sheep. And any good shepherd will protect his sheep. You think in the natural, and you think of a shepherd, if a, you know, speaks in the scripture about David. You know, when the lion, the bear, tried to come and get the sheep, and he killed it. You know, that's what any shepherd will do. He will protect his sheep if he loves his sheep. And this brother was encouraging me, you know, and telling me that, you know, you got to protect the sheep. You're doing the right thing, you know. And, of course, we was talking about some other things, situations and so forth. But that's what's in my heart and has been for years, is protect you. So think about that, you know, when it seems like I'm not allowing this or I don't recommend this or whatever. And I may see something you don't see or may know something you don't know, you see. So just remember, I love you and I want to protect you. I want to keep you safe in the arms of Christ, you see. So don't think I'm a bad guy. I'm not. I just love you and I love Jesus Christ. And I want to see this church. I want to see this people here. If there's not nobody else makes it in, I want to see this people make it in. That's what it's all about, isn't it? Serving God and giving our life to Him, and He gives us the reward, eternal life. Keep pressing, saints. Be as encouraged and press as great as Paul seen it. Because Apostle Paul said, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. So keep pressing. We're going to get out of here one of these days. I'm looking forward to it. Are you? Amen. Are you loving the appearing of the Lord? We should. We should be loving it more now than we ever have in our life. Especially if we know we come to that point in Christ through faith that we please God. Amen. Let us bow our heads. Gracious Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the word tonight. And Lord, it's so encouraging to know, Father, that there's men that will stand on the Word of God. And Father, there's a people that want to stand on it also. A people that love You and love Your Word with all their hearts. And though, Father, there's times in our lives we trip up and we've made mistakes and we've done wrong, but we're so thankful for the blood that You have for us. You shed on Calvary that, Lord, if we do make a mistake, if we do something wrong, it's free to go through that blood and ask You, Lord, to forgive us. And Father, through mercy and grace and through the desire You've given us, there's something about it, Lord, that we can press on and press on through those things and be an overcomer. We're thankful for that, Lord, and we greatly appreciate it. And we ask once more now that You would keep a hedge of fire burning around this little place. Lord, no deceit, no deception whatsoever can enter in. And Lord, we would not be influenced by anything. The only thing that would influence us would be Your pure, unadulterated Word of God. We ask now that Your blessings be with us. Watch over us, Lord. Keep us safe upon the highways, especially those that have to travel so far. Bless each one now. We thank You for this day. Through the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Yeah, love Him.
Amen.
Can I hear a real strong, healthy amen? Do you love Him?
Amen.
Amen. That's the way it should be. Something really burning in your heart that you love Him. May God richly bless you. Until we meet again, if it be God's will, we'll meet again Thursday evening.